CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. It's the GCS. It is, it's the night after you didn't die, which is a good thing, from what I've heard. And my life is good. I'm joined by Lebang, and I am joined by Simpiwe. Gareth's not here. Where is Gareth? Does anybody actually know?
Guys, Gareth is living his best life. That's all we need to know. Where he's doing it, how he's doing it, with who, that doesn't matter. Just know that the boy is happy, there's a feather, and he's been tickled on his back. That's it.
That's his thing, getting tickled on his back. So wherever you may be on planet Earth, I hope this is the best day of your life, because I'm having a good day already. And, you know, that's where you want to be. And it's summer in Africa, which is so good. Well, at least the Southern Hemisphere anyway. It's just fantastic, isn't it?
It is lovely until ESCOM reminds you that they actually in charge and you are just a rat in their little game. So make the most of the sun. I think you're right, Simile. Let's focus on what, you know, the good, which is that the sun is out. You know, we can put our washing on the washing line. And yeah, I'm for that. I'm for that.
So are South Africans not going to just get inverters? Like, if you can afford to, because I hear a lot of people having December plans, but not getting an inverter. You know, my mother raised me to, you're not allowed in my household to get upset at something you expect. Like, around my mom, you can't say, I'm upset. If you're talking about December plans, I expect you to have an inverter. You better have an inverter instead of December plans.
But that's part of the December plans. Let's see, Hori, how's the night going to go? Are we going to be low shed? Or are we not? Ooh! Like, I think that's how some people look at it. They just like, let's live on the edge and let's see. Especially since December is all about the vibes. Yo, you can have so much fun, you know, in the dark. I'm just saying.
Okay.
And also, like, how hectic were 2019 and 2020 and 2021 as a concept? Like, COVID literally just, like, pushed us to another limit. So I don't think anybody's, like, in the mood of, like, okay, cool, let's, like, plan. Right now, nah, enjoyment. If you've got 50 bucks to your name, take that 50 rand and Uber Eats, baby. It's fine. Like, we're just living at this stage. Like, life is just too unpredictable to sit and, you know, be robotic about our action. I mean, Mbulela, I know you obviously like on another level, but I'm just speaking for the rest of us.
No, hey, it's a shocking world out there. But listen, I wanted to ask you something that I saw yesterday. So a friend of mine was involved in a movie that is, so I don't really watch the Oscars. I'm not really into that whole thing, into any of these award ceremonies and things. But I think it's Barakat. So she was telling me she did some stuff for them and it got an Oscar nomination. So I thought I'd start off on a good note, but we went load shedding immediately. But let's turn it around. Barakat Oscar nomination. I saw that this morning, and I saw a fantastic text from her. She's quite excited. So I don't know if you guys have had a look or seen it or seen anything about it.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. I haven't watched anything, so yeah, I'm shook. And I don't really follow the Oscars that much, so shout out to you for getting the nomination.
Shout out to you, girl. Win. Yeah.
But I'm not invested like that. So, askies, babes.
Askies, na. But anyway, South African nomination for the Oscars. So, are the Oscars still a big thing? Like, I just don't know because I stopped years ago getting involved. But I'd love to know. By the way, you can hit us up on the comments. If you're watching with us on YouTube, please like, share, subscribe, be a friend, tell a friend. The GCS is up and with you if you're in the Republic or on in Central African time. Otherwise, wherever you may be in the world, please do subscribe on YouTube. Are the Oscars still a thing? I'd love to know.
Yo, Doug, who cares?
About the Oscars, eh?
Yeah, like, I don't... Yo, it's been a while. It's, like, since growing up, now I'm quite actively involved in selecting what I want to consume. And the Oscars is really not on the list of things I'm interested in consuming. It's just a bit of a front, in my opinion. Like, you know, I don't know. I think the last time I watched the Oscars could have been when Parasite won something. And I don't even know if that was an Oscar or an Emmy. Ach, man, I don't know. look, I don't know.
And people in film get really offended when you say, when you dismiss it, you know? Like, I know one or two people that work in quite serious Hollywood film, and they're like super about it. Just, what do you mean? It's, you know, it still means something. It's, oh my God, no, it doesn't.
How long did it take Leonardo to get an Oscar? Let's start there.
Oh, he's not a very good actor.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Be a better actor.
Oh. We're lying this early in the day. Damn.
Bilalo, please fix your life. Oh. Please fix your life.
Okay.
Like, let's... When it comes to award ceremonies in general, let's not act like these things are not rigged, right? And just because you're super talented does not equate to you getting the acknowledgement that you rightfully deserve. And that's, I think, the issue with a lot of award ceremonies, and this is why people don't think it's a thing anymore. It's because you know that this person was supposed to win Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Lead, and whatnot. And then a mediocre person just out of nowhere wins it. And you're like, ah, for the what? For the who? Why should I support? Why should I be there and be invested when I know that my investment is not going to yield any returns? And that is for somebody else to make money. All right, chief, it's fine.
So
did nobody actually cares?
So we have a gift for the world. A guy called Fikile Mbalula, right? A couple of years ago, South Africa lost to Simpiwe's point. South Africa lost to, I believe it was Nigeria or something in the football when he was Minister of Sport. And I don't know if you remember his famous bunch of losers speech, but in it he said the mediocre that was displayed there. So Simpiwe, you're saying the mediocre that is the Oscars is, hey, listen, it is an interesting thing because art still needs somewhere to be celebrated, right? Yes, I know we're all about economy and whatever is, and obviously art's in a complicated place now because identity politic and who gets to decide what is art, what is shown, who controls what gets paid for. I mean, for a large time in our history, right, what we must remember as well is for a large part of human history, the Catholic Church has decided what art was, what it looked like, where it's placed, who gets to see it, when you get to see it, you know, is nobody else got to decide that realm. And we're in a very sort of the modern day era, and what we call modernity has opened up a whole new world of permissivity. And we have seen even... Let's speak to South Africa. We remember Jacob Zuma with that phallic picture that went crazy and offended so many who, whether you like Jacob Zuma or not, our traditions versus the sort of, let's call it, Western liberal traditions, that was a piece of art that hit the guts of many in South Africa. So art in an interesting place right now.
Please remind us about that Jacob Zuma picture. Can you describe it there for some of us who don't remember much from that?
No, sure. I'm happy to describe it. If you've seen Richard Spohr's picture on social media recently, Jacob Zuma had, it was out for all to see down below, you know, if you've seen Richard Spohr.
Details.
Yeah, so more, I would say more vendor. He looked very vendor than, more vendor than Zulu in that downstairs department, if you know what I'm saying, I think is what he, So,
But back to the arts.
The arts is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
We are all artists in some or other form. Oh. And that's why things like the Oscars and whatnot, not that I'm discrediting your, I guess, professional, how much you know about the subject, but this is my art and this is how I act and this is how I express myself. And I'm doing this because I believe in what I'm doing, and there's somebody out there who's going to appreciate it. So the standard of, oh, well, if you don't have the Oscar, you ain't shit, is what makes these same organizations so, you know, whack, for lack of a better term. It just makes it whack because, for the most part, this is just like a small group of friends all just giving each other high fives year after year after year. Mm. And I think people are kind of exhausted of that because, you know, art is it's received in however way you receive it. The three of us can be looking at the same picture, but we're literally looking at a different thing because we're perceiving it differently. So who are those people, that small group of 10 probably old white men in the top of Hollywood deciding who wins the Oscars? So it gets tired, and it's tiring. Mm. And I think as time goes by, people are just going to get completely over it. We're already there, actually.
Yeah, people are just watching Netflix now. They don't even care what gets awards. I'm going to watch it on Netflix, whether you like it or not. Here is a great question by Michael. Now, before I ask this question, just remember, when would you say the word Oscar... It did shake the world because of who he was and the way it came out. But in South Africa, when we say Oscar, it obviously doesn't, at the moment, I still think South Africa is still mourning. is that it also means Oscar Pistorius. And my man has just obviously served, I believe, half of his term, which means he is now up for parole. Michael Menzies saying, is Oscar still in prison? That is a good question. Your thoughts on Oscar being up for parole? I mean, ladies, in a time where GBV's in the air, is Oscar up for parole? It may be the worst time ever to be up for parole for something disgusting that he did, considering we're not having the GBV anymore, and you killed a woman who was, for all that we know, innocent. Is boy, oh boy, Oscar, huh? There's no way. There's no way he gets parole. Surely, hey?
Yeah, but also this is South Africa, mates. Let's call a spade a spade. I mean, the justice system really does work in the favor of those who can work it. So it's either they continue to make an example of him and they say, no, Oscar, stay your ass in prison. Or they say, ah, man, but he's done all right. Let him out. I mean, either way, someone's going to get upset. Either way, if he gets out, people are going to be like, oh, you see? Yeah, we knew it. If he stays in, his supporters are going to be like, oh, but he served his time. There's no making anybody happy. What needs to happen is justice. Whether that's going to happen, we don't know. Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z.
And Sipiwa, your thoughts?
All I have to say is just look at what happened to Jacob Zuma, and that should tell you everything. That's it. That's it.
You think, Oscar's in a different position. You know, Jacob Zuma did it a little more cleverly. I do think he's condemned tens of millions of South Africans to the death. Otherwise, if not their death, a life equal to that of a cockroach purely by that corruption. So I don't think his crime is any less, right? Because he has condemned many children, as I say, to the brink of death with that corruption. But Oscar, you know, when you see somebody shoot somebody, it's very, very different. We now know that he brutally murdered this woman, as the evidence leads to. That's a whole different thing to what Msholo Zi, yes, it was wrong. This dude murdered somebody in cold blood, his girlfriend. I mean, that is so, I don't know. Maybe I'm just really offended by it, but more offended by what Oscar did than, you know, Msholo Zi is. It's like a death by a thousand cuts instead of the bullet in the head kind of thing.
No, but I'm just saying, look at how Jacob Zuma got cheated once he was in the system,
yeah,
right? That man is out somewhere living his best life. He's not in jail currently, right? And I'm saying that that might be the case with Oscar. Yes, he's served some time, right? And that works to his advantage. But I do think we should, you know, open our minds up to say there's a high possibility that this man might get parole. Like, and that's the truth of the matter. Seeing also how our justice system works. Like, we can't be like naive. Ah, Jacob Zuma, you're not in the same boat. No, Chief, we've seen politicians that have, they stole money, corruption at its peak, and they don't even, just a slap on the wrist. Ah, sorry, guys, sorry. So seeing that pattern, you kind of have to anticipate that, my brother, we're going to see you on the streets. No, it's cool.
Msholo Zi can obviously hide in where he is because he's got a house with a tuck shop, so he can just pop up there for whatever he needs. Plus, there's the chicken coop. Where does Oscar live? Is what I'm saying. Like he can't live in Pretoria. He cannot live in and amongst us. There's just no way. There's no way. John Wick or Mshaya or something is going to happen to that guy.
John Wick is going to find his ass here.
like
a thief in the night.
But Oscar, Oscar's very unique looking. You know, some people can hide in plain sight. Like the no, that's...
Dude, I'm sure he's got he's got people in other parts of the world who at any moment he could just hop onto a plane and just go there and stay, not even in a bunker, in somebody's holiday home for the rest of his life if he feels like it. I mean, come on. This is Oscar we're talking about. He'll definitely make a plan. If anything, he's got some money hidden somewhere offshore if he was smart, unless he snorted it all. Then help him, but he'll be fine. Man.
Very rich family. We do know his family extremely wealthy. So actually, I don't think he needs to go and get his money that he saved. So good luck to the guy.
He'll be right.
I hope he doesn't get parole.
Me too.
And you know what? So just to close this off, is that I know we'd become despondent, but at least on the African continent, and I've been quite fortunate to be in some meetings with people from overseas, and I always say this, is that South Africa is still the gateway to Africa. And the only reason for that is actually, and I know we're in it, so we don't get to see it. Actually, our legal system works. The law still means something here, and there are still rules, and it's why you can do business here like you can in the Western world, is for the scale of our crime sometimes sort of overshadows a legal system which works. It does work. The law still means something here, and I don't want us to get down a path where we think it's completely all gone. It still works. We still have great people doing great things, and actually, the trajectory for South Africa is a little bit better than I think we feel on the everyday, because most of the time we're in the dark. We can't even read the good news, thanks to Eskom. But the law still works here, and I'd like to believe something like that can still get it done. Lebang, you have a situation coming up, right? And I mean...
Mm-hmm. Are you exposing me now?
Weddings, huh?
What's happening with the exposure?
I mean, listen, you got an invite to your cousin's wedding, and I want to hear kind of your approach to the way it came and whether you're going or not.
So I don't know if I'm maybe overreacting, right? But long story short, my cousin's getting married in December, and ironically, my cousin's also best friends with my partner, so it's like a whole vibe, whoop, whoop, everyone's in it to win it. But I got the invite to the wedding via WhatsApp. So I'm like, okay, cool. Maybe this is just like a new age way of communicating, and we just send like a picture and then the details. But then I found out that I was on like a broadcast list with like a million other people. Yeah. So it wasn't personalized in any way. It wasn't like, hey, cousin of mine, I really want you to come to my wedding. Please come through, blah, blah, blah. It was just like, hey, y'all, all of y'all, come through. I'm like, oh, so I'm a part of all of y'all. I'm not special. I don't know. I kind of took a little bit of offense to that, because sure, you know, digital age, let's all just, you know, communicate. But like still, there's a level of like finesse that I was hoping he would implement. And at least say, hi, Lebang. That's all. You know, like in emails, you can see this one is for all of us. But they at least put your name, you know? So you feel like this one was written for me personally. This WhatsApp, literally, you could see, anyone who gets it can go. So I don't know if I'm going to.
Wait, but...
Go ahead,
Zipi. Right, it's personalized. No. I don't think I sympathize with you, Lebang, because...
Okay, let me finish. I grew up in a time where wedding invites on TV would come in, like, big boxes, and then when you open the box, butterflies would come out. Or they'd come personalized with an envelope. Like, it was special.
Yeah.
You know, at least my name.
No, Lebang, I'm not disputing it being special, ne?
Yeah.
But let's backtrack. When he created that WhatsApp group, ne? You put the people that you want in that group. So out of the contact, wait, I'm just saying that out of like his 500 contacts, he's like, no, I only want 100 people to come, and these are my 100 people, ne? And to make life easier, and we live in that time where it's all about convenience. Let's, you know, make life easier. Let me just put everybody in one WhatsApp group and let me send them a thing, because I still want your presence there. I think you should be very happy that you got an invite. You know, it's like you got an, like, not every, if you're like everybody and everybody just in jail, but he had to make sure that no, there's only 100 people in this group, and these are the 100 people that I want, and you guys are so important to me. Like, I'm sorry, babes, but guys, and also, know, maybe, it's not about you.
No, for sure. It's not about me. I know that. It's not my day. Sure, guys, I see all of that. I've thought about this quite deeply. Trust me, I've thought about this quite deeply. I'm not sitting here being a douchebag saying, no, they must hand deliver the person.
No. Wait, you are sitting here doing that. Don't say I'm not sitting here doing that. Yeah, no, that's exactly what you're doing. It's like you spent 2 minutes doing it.
Literally, just say, hi, Lebang, you know, your family, dog, you already know, come through. Just make it feel like something. I don't know, man. Maybe I just moved different. I wasn't pleased with the fact that I got a WhatsApp broadcast. But anyway, look, and usually I'm not wrong about these things. I'm usually not wrong about these things, guys. I'm going to get there and have a shitty time, but it's fine.
Now that's different energy. You saying, I'm going to get there and have a shitty time. Like, wait.
Guys, energies are loud, eh? Energies are loud, bro. Your energies are loud. energies are loud. And you know I believe in this. And I'm not doing the whole 11-11 chakra thing. I'm just saying that in a time, in a time where, you know, social media is such a lot. Maybe I need to give you guys context as well. You know, that style of like, you know, we're doing things so people can see us and what, we must feel a certain way. I think I know too much about this very matter. And that's why it's actually triggering me. It's not just the invite. It's like, oh, cuz, you're still going through with this. Oh, and I spoke about this a couple of months ago with Gareth. And I said to him, look, dude, I don't know about my cousin. He's in this new relationship with this girl who does this, this, that. And we all concluded that he needs to run. So that dude didn't run. He's still knee deep in the situation, and it's gotten worse than ever. So I don't know if I'm angry at the fact that I got a WhatsApp invite or the fact that he's still going through with this. Maybe I'm just projecting and using that as an excuse. You know that part when they say, does anybody disagree? Yo, guys, yay.
Wow. Okay.
Like, my two cents of advice, don't be that girl that says, does anyone disagree? Because people have paid money. Like if you don't agree with someone getting married, please tell them way before they've paid for the venue.
No, whoa. Food.
Now you wanna come and interrupt and they say,
sorry.
Excuse Simpiwe. Me. I don't think you should marry this person.
Sorry. Don't tell anybody who to marry. It's none of your business. You've got your own relationship. Stay the hell out. Ningen up. You know. So I think this is a really important thing in life, right? Lebang, ungen up when. In fact, okay, if I was your cousin go straight to hell. Don't come.
Oh, okay. Let's roll together because your life is about to be that, and I'm trying to stop you from that. But because you don't listen, you'll wake up later. Listen, dog. Where I enter is when it starts to hurt me and the people around me as your family. You can get into a relationship and go on and be married, but once that relationship starts to hurt the people around you, dog, come on. So we must just keep quiet and let you go into a car accident. Like, we can see you are fucking up your life. And we must just sit back and enjoy the free food, though. Y'all got some free food. That was nice, though.
Yeah. Lebang, it's not about the invite. It's got nothing to do with the invite. Listen, I'm not.
And I said it.
I'm not Dr. Hanan Bushkin, and perhaps we can present it to Dr. Hanan. But this has nothing to do with the invite, actually, because
it doesn't.
I don't know what your family was like. My family skipped sort of gussy living. My family is still very rural. Both sides of my family. At the black weddings I know in the rural areas, there's no invite. Mm. Just come. Just clearly, Lamakosa is unknown. So I don't know how your family grew up. So perhaps you do come from a more rigid family.
This wedding invite is not a traditional wedding. This is like the white wedding that's going to be like on some beautiful lake. What? These people are straight up balling. Like straight up. And that's cool too. But like, sometimes money doesn't matter if it comes at a real cost. And the real cost in this situation, for me, is really the livelihood of my cousin.
So is she rich or is your cousin rich?
She's balling.
Okay.
So they kind of both are.
Maybe you hate her because she's rich.
She's got like, dude, I'm also rich. No, this is not about that. Mm. This is about a person's characteristics. There's people that are broke that are amazing people. There's people that are rich that are amazing people. But in this particular case, this chick is rich and she's a dick. So I'm trying to tell my cousin, look, dog, like, are you sure? I love you. You know, I'm with you. But you know what? Let me not get too invested, because at the same time, let him do what he needs to do.
I'll
be here in 5-6 years time. And I'll remind him that, look, dog, you sent me a WhatsApp invite to your wedding. You know?
Yeah. Look, man, I think personally you're doing too much, but, you know, it's your family. And you're entitled to get as involved. You're entitled to get as involved or not involved as possible. And I hope they have a great time. Like, weddings, I think, are a waste of time anyway. But I hope they have a great time if they choose to get married and do their thing. And hopefully Lebang doesn't go there and make it about herself, you know. I mean, let's not be selfish. Lebang, maybe have your own wedding. Like,
oh, my gosh. I know I'm not ready to get married. I can admit when... You know, hey, let me not rush into things. Let me not do things for social media. Let me not do things to impress other people. Dude, I'm quite content with who I am and where I'm at. But if somebody I love is clearly doing something that they really don't want to do, I can't just sit by and be like, come on, boys, go for it.
I'll finish it off on this. Is just so every lady knows, that, and I've encountered at least 20 weddings now, you are the worst person in the world ever when it's your wedding. So Lebang, please, you don't get to do it twice. You'll be the worst person in the world for your wedding when you do it.
Oh my gosh.
Be a witch then. You can't be a witch for someone else's wedding. Like pump the brakes.
I'm not being a witch.
Yeah, you are a little. Okay. Now my symptoms. Some people, I don't know. Like,
I've got witch symptoms. Because, yeah. Okay, you know what? I'll admit, I need to step away.
Yes.
It's consumed. But guys, it's layered. But you're right. Let me step away. Look, let me let them be happy. If this is what they want to pretend to do.
Oh,
but
my God.
I'm going to tell it like it is. But when you walk into Boulder's Warehouse and you see a spade, what do you call that thing? It's a spade, my boy. It's a spade. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to walk past and be like, oh, it must be a pitchfork.
No, fair enough. Listen, Michael says, as more than 50% of weddings end in divorce, weddings should not be taken seriously and invites to them ought to be considered as petty annoyances. And, you know, Michael makes a great point. Now, I don't want to advocate for not people getting married or not getting married. What I'm saying is we understand it's a little bit of a gamble now. And most of the weddings are just so that people can gather around, get pissed for the last time. Generally for guys,
social
it's actually about the
likes.
It's about the week before. Let's get hammered at, you know, what's the ladies want to call the hen party? Party.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that one's called. Yeah, but a bachelor party. But the weddings are, they're generally so painful for everyone. They're like, nobody wants to take 3 days off so you can make what is now a 50-50 gamble with your life. Like, nobody wants to do that. But I feel guilted into it. So, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah, look, love is love, man. Look, if love is love, let me not be that guy. Love is love. I'll give you guys feedback, though, at the beginning of next year, and I'll tell you how it went. Because I love y'all, I'll give you feedback, and I'll tell you how it went. Hopefully it went well. And then I'll admit that, you know what, I was wrong. And actually, they are happy and fine, which is really what I'm hoping. I'm hoping I'm overthinking this entire thing.
No, I hope that as well. And as we move into the headlines, I mean, a big one that was yesterday. I mean, 2 days ago, I was in a meeting with somebody from the States, and she actually alerted me to this. I was unaware of it. Simpiwe, is Travis Scott and Drake are now in a whole situation. That look, if you know,
events gone so wrong.
Like, I don't listen to American hip hop or whatever, but I mean, these are two of the biggest pop stars in the world, and there was an unfortunate incident where it was in Texas, and people died at a concert. They rushed the stage and. Yeah, Simpiwe, I mean, maybe you can give us some context and what happened. And there was a 10-year-old involved, but let us know what happened. Oh.
So, for those who don't know who Travis Scott is, he is a rapper, one of the biggest hip-hop rappers right now. Mm. And he was having his Astroworld concert in...
Astroworld.
There we go. That. And... Let me just wait before we get into what happened that in this particular incident, he's been known to, you know, incite mayhem with his fellow, you know, concert goers. And he's been known to say problematic things at concerts, and then, you know, people get all rowdy and yeah, it's just a mess every time people go there. But this time around, things from the jump were just, they went left from the time people entered. They kind of just like, pushed their way through, and it was already like a stampede going on, and it was already over capacity. So already people are like, it should have stopped there. They should have been like, oh, like we shouldn't continue. But hey, first red flag, let's ignore it. That's what people do. Then, as he was starting to perform and, you know, the crowds and the energy, certain people were starting to feel like, okay, you know what? This is not it. And they were trying to alert the securities and people to say, hey guys, like people are feeling like it's a lot of people here and it's not cool. Let's just stop and take a breathe. Nope, that didn't happen. Second red flag. And people started collapsing and people are passing out. People are unconscious. And there's even a video where there's someone being picked up and they're unconscious and Travis is performing and he's looking at them like, and he's just performing and he doesn't stop. There's other videos of people trying to get the attention of the cameraman and they carried on. And eventually his crew went to Travis and Travis was like, nah, we're carrying on with the show. And yeah, like he's being sued now. One of the people is suing for $1 million for injuries occurred. Two other people are also suing, and he said he's also going to refund all the people that were there. But yeah, The people, it's been trending, guys, and people are saying that basically this was what an energy harvest. And it felt like they were in hell, and it felt like, you know, and then they're looking at all like his posters and signs, and like he was singing, "See you on the other side," you know, and there's like a phoenix that was on fire, and that's all symbolic of like, you know, basically being in hell, and his t-shirt. So they're all saying that, yay, kiss Satan, demonic things, energy harvest. This is why we're so left.
Okay.
Like, you know what the real sad thing is? Like, really, most of the people that attended this concert were very, very young. I'm talking 14, 15, 16, like 18, 19. These are very, very young kids who obviously idolized Travis Scott. So, you know, it's one of the first few concerts. You know, the world is opening up again. It's Travis Scott. He brings out Drake. Drake is currently the biggest artist in the world. As soon as Drake walks out on stage, it's almost like an energy moved the entire crowd from where they were to literally rile up to the front of the stage. A lot of people were just automatically hallucinating. Automatically, they couldn't breathe. Automatically, like, things were just happening. There's obviously a lot of stories, but the real problem is these are a lot of young people. I think, how many people lost their lives? Like, 8 of them passed on?
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, 8 so far on record. Yes, on record. They are, like, the people that were there saying it could be more. In fact, it should be much more higher. But 8 so far. But the issue here is that at no point did they stop. And that's what they're saying, is that, yes, there's been concerts where people, they get riled up. And artists have literally been like, yo, there's somebody, I see paramedics, let's just give it a moment, let's just take a breather, let's take a step back. We're here to have fun, but we also need to be safe. So when I was looking at the tweets and people just reporting their experience at the thing, the biggest thing was that at no point did anyone say, whoa, let's stop.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
From the time it started and it was over capacity from the jump, no one was like, guys, hold up, pause, we can't do this. And that's the issue. And that's why so many people are so mad. And Travis Scott is known for, you know, inciting mayhem. That's also the thing. It's like,
no, they bring up, I've seen Travis Scott perform live.
Hold on. It takes two parts, right? It takes two parts. Is that, and again, all I've heard and read about this is about Travis Scott and the people on stage. Is, where's the personal responsibility for letting your kids go to a concert, right? Is that there must also be that part in life. You see, people love saying, and this is tragic, people lost their lives. I'm not reducing that. But there's also personal responsibility. When you enter an event arena, you buy a ticket. Nobody forces a ticket down your throat. There is personal responsibility, and I've been to major international concerts. I have news for everybody. I've been to Tomorrowland. I've done Coachella. I've done all of these things. People die at every concert. So please, let's not act like shocker, people die at concerts. People everywhere. There's big ones in South Africa where every year people die, whether it's reported or not. So let's take some personal responsibility as well. I'm not saying that Travis Scott didn't incite. I don't know that side of things. I'm saying, where's the personal responsibility for letting your 10... There's a 10-year-old dead now. Who lets a 10-year-old into a concert... First of all, with this, like, I don't know Travis Scott's music, but I know what Drake's music's going to be like. What's a 10-year-old doing? Are we going to talk about that?
We can, but also let's be realistic. Let's actually be realistic. These very same kids that are being allowed to go to these concerts, do you really think their parents even know Travis Scott's music? Do you think their parents really care that much? If you're letting your 10-year-old go to a concert, dude, clearly I'm allowing the world to raise you. Clearly, I'm not that invested. Because if you're 10 and Travis Scott is having a concert, don't you have no business being there? Me, as your parent, it's my responsibility to not allow you to go. If I've said, go on, my young 10-year-old, I'll see you when you come back at midnight or at 4 a.m., dude, there's already a problem. So if that's how you're being raised, let's not even go to personal responsibility, because these kids don't even know what that is.
Okay, so listen, it's not just the kids. I'm saying the parents. You take some responsibility.
For sure.
It's very easy to sue. Bradley says, Simpio touched on this. It's not satanic worship that is all bull. That is what our future beholds, people. Social media has created a narcissistic future. And I mean, boy, oh boy. And this is... this is narcissism at its finest, because obviously if you don't know, the story of Narcissus was that he was this mythological creature, obviously not real, but he was so beautiful. He looked at himself, and there's two versions of the story, but I'll use the one which I'm more familiar with, is that he would walk past his own image and see his own face so handsome, and he once saw it in a lake, that he saw his a reflection of himself in the lake, and the story goes he was so in love with himself he wanted to essentially, I don't know, let's use today's method and say make out with it, fell in the lake and drowned, right? This is an imagery of narcissism. These people love Drake, let's say. They get so close to the stage. It's about me, me, me. I want to get to my star and social media and get the hashtag. Perhaps this is a narcissist reinvented.
There's a lot of layers. There's a lot of factors to this particular incident. At the same time, from a promoter's perspective, as somebody who organizes events and puts these concerts together, the most important thing is to make sure that you've got the right medical staff. That's the first thing that they didn't have. They had way too few medical people on call. It's almost as if they were underprepared. And there were way too many people for that space, and way too many people for the number of paramedics. So there's a lot of things. Number two, yo, bro, Travis Scott, when you see that people are falling, fainting, whatever, you better cut the music. You better just say on the mic, yo, cut the lights, cut the music, we're stopping this shit. Doesn't matter how much money you're making, doesn't matter how much money you've already made, but when you see that something is up, you have a responsibility to stop. So we can't just make it about the victims and the fact that they went to the concert. They went to the concert, sure, but as the narcissist or as the star or whatever, you also have a responsibility to say, hey, man, because I also saw a clip of ASAP Rocky, also American hip-hop artist, star, beautiful, boom. He also had a concert where it was packed. And as soon as people were getting too close and they were sort of getting rowdy, he stopped and he said, yo, I'm not going to keep performing if you guys don't back up and make room for each other. So, you know, it's not just on you. You know, it literally is also on, okay, where am I going? Also, who am I with? Okay, who am I going to see perform? I bet. So, look, good luck to Travis Scott, man. I don't think he obviously envisioned that this would be happening, but I wonder what this is going to do to his career. Because I remember going to a concert when I was like 13 at the Dome. I went to watch 50 Cent perform at the Dome. Dog, it was amazing. But as soon as that thing ended, I left. Like, luckily back then, you know, there weren't stampedes and stuff. But being that young at a concert, it's definitely already like, it's hectic. But as soon as it's done, dog, boom. But 13-year-olds and 10-year-olds today, yo, they move different, bro.
Yeah. Right.
I just want to add, in as much as, you know, parents do need to take responsibilities, can we also just focus on kids and how, like, sneaky kids can be? You know, I know that, like, when I was a teenager, I would lie about my whereabouts to be like, oh, maybe I'm with a friend, guy, I'm somewhere else. And that's also the reality, is that parents could drop off their kids at, you know, Peter's house, and then you sneak out of Peter's house because Travis' concert is 20 minutes down the road, and you just sneak into that place. And it's unfortunate that happened to that 10-year-old, that he's lost his life. But when you look at it, as Lebang said, it's like, it's as if they weren't prepared for what could go wrong. And I think if you in the events business, it's not about everything going right, it's about everything going wrong. Like, if there's one person who, you know, faints in front of this thing, what happens? What do we do?
Yeah.
And they didn't do that.
Yeah, look, I think we've covered that ground already. Yeah, I think we've covered that ground already. It's tragic, and you know this is the issue, I think, in most modern day society. People don't like to take responsibility. At some point, it's either the parents' fault or Travis' fault or the organizer's fault. Like, somebody must take responsibility. And I think the worst part is that 8 people have lost their lives. Let's move on to some headlines. TikTok, everyone's favorite, where people are moving and grooving. But it actually has saved somebody here. A real person here is a missing girl who was found after using a viral call for help, which she learnt about on TikTok. A teenager who went missing in the US has been found after she used hand signals that went viral on TikTok to show she was in danger. The girl had been reported missing by her parents in North Carolina on Tuesday morning and was spotted inside a car in Kentucky 2 days later. The 16-year-old used the gesture designed to help domestic abuse victims. ask for help to alert a passing driver. Authorities say they arrested a 61-year-old man. What an incredible story. I mean, social media gets a hard time, right? And this is incredible. This is not possible 15 years ago. This poor 16-year-old girl is gone 16 years ago. It's or 15, 20 years ago. I think that's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, that's so.
I love it. I love that it shows that social media can be quite educational. And if you take the time to kind of ensure that your feed, you know, is showing you the right things, that can actually save your life, you know?
Here we are. So, yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
Shout out to TikTok.
And I hope that young girl's back with her family because, boy, I mean, as though the last 2 years haven't been rough enough, the last thing you need, personally, within my family, my mom's always said her nightmare is burying her own kids. So I always think of other people's children and I think, my God, I hope your parents never have to bury you or you get kidnapped. So I'm delighted and I hope that family has been reunited. Moving on to our fellow South Africans, our constituents, our stakeholders, the ANC, these palookas, hey? So 2021 local government elections, the most difficult for the ANC, says Cyril. I lost my iPad, Ramaphosa. ANC President Cyril Ramaphosa says the party's campaign for the 2021 local government elections has been the most difficult yet for the party. Ramaphosa was addressing supporters at the party's thank you rally on Monday afternoon at the University of Johannesburg Soweto campus. Speaking inside the Imbizo Hall, where thousands were gathered, Ramaphosa said that lower voter turnout was of great concern for the party, which only clinched 46% of the votes compared to the 50% it gained in the 2016 municipal elections. I mean, these guys, hey, just incredible.
Are you concerned now? You're only realizing this now?
The stake.
Like after the votes?
The stakeholders.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think they're in denial. Like, these people are all in denial. They really think that they're doing a good job. They honestly think that they're doing okay. Because they're all like, oh, how did we lose all their votes? Oh, no. Bro. I'm sorry. I'm actually tired.
You
only need to
tell you. Me, I can tell you how you lost those.
Certain marks, we can literally point it out. They live under a rock. I'm sorry. Those houses in Sandhurst or wherever Hyde Park, they have no cooking clue what's going on in this country. They are sure that they are killing it. They know that, we've got this one. Just another election. And then they go, wow, we're losing. Oh, man, how is this happening? Bro, I'm sorry. NC must rest.
You know what the issue is? We're not speaking a language. So you know how they're like my fellow brothers or our comrades, ne? They say fellow comrades. I think we also need to be like fellow politicians.
Mm.
It is with deepest condolences to inform you that you will not be leading the country in the next few years. In fact, the people currently are unsatisfied with the level of mediocrity. And I think maybe then they'll understand. I think. Because clearly they're not hearing us. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I like that they had a thank you party after all of this. That's like...
Like, let's start there. Let us begin there. Like, the way they're so sure of themselves, they probably planned the thank you party before we even voted. Because they were like, we got this. Let's thank them with some free shirts.
Who named it? Who named it a thank you party? Like, what? So you're thanking us for standing in lines that don't work in a country with no... Incredible. All right, let's move on to a bigger story, one which is far more sad, and we did touch on it a little bit earlier. Oscar Pistorius' parole process to start in South Africa. South African Paralympic athlete Oscar Pistorius, in prison for murdering his girlfriend Riva Steenkamp, may soon meet her parents as part of the process leading to parole being considered, officials say. He is eligible for possible release after having served half a sentence, but he first has to take part in what is called restorative justice. Pistorius shot Steenkamp dead in 2013, saying he mistook her for a burglar at his home in the capital, Tshwane. The 34-year-old fired four times through a locked toilet door. And I think we all know the rest. But here we are. Oscar Pistorius, one of the biggest stories, I would say, definitely of the last, certainly within the last, in the teens, that decade. Oscar Pistorius tragically shooting his girlfriend. Now up for parole. I think we've sort of covered all of that and our thoughts on that, but we'll keep an eye on that. We will keep an eye on that. That'll be the story, right, until the end of the year, I think, to see. As both of you pointed out brilliantly, is it's a test of our system now. Do we care? What does it look like? Because and something maybe we didn't touch on is that part of the law working is also advertising brand South Africa, because for investment to come, the law has to mean something where you are. Pfizer and, you know, Unilever or whoever these big companies aren't investing in a place where I can't put my building down and lock it and be sure that it's safe. That's essentially what people need, right? They need that investor confidence. So this is a really landmark case. And I think it will, I believe, and maybe I'm naive, I believe it will shape the course of the case purely because Brand South Africa is also on blast here. I mean, CNN will be here for this one. BBC will be here for this. Al Jazeera will be here for this. So let's see how that goes. For the next story, parties to form coalitions to avoid government's intervention. Different political parties are engaged in marathon talks to form coalitions after a record 66 municipalities were hung, including the Joburg, Tshwane, and eThekwini metros. With less than 2 weeks to go before newly elected councillors are sworn into office, local government experts said the law was armed with alternatives should coalition talks delay the resumption of municipal council duties. Different political parties are engaged in marathon talks to form coalitions, and now that's an interesting one. I mean, we haven't had this in a while, or maybe ever, that I've been an adult, where we might be, hey Janet, you're not gonna get your whatever party car because hold up a minute, we're moving a few plates, we're moving a few pieces. So but this is good, right? This is a great thing. Tension in politics, and I know it's painful for us as individuals. Tension in politics is a must. If people are comfortable, that's where things like corruption happen. That's where people can get comfortable and learn systems. And then they start to bring in their friends instead of. So tension is a tremendous thing. So as painful as it might be, let's hold out for another 6 months of perhaps reporting water. And it's not quite, you know, Joburg water where you, because we need to put the correct currents in place, because tension is important. And I don't know what's happened in your area, Lebang. Is there a feeling kind of how things are going?
Well, in terms of like water, I did hear yesterday that Rand Water plans a 54-hour water cut in parts of Gauteng on the 15th of November. So that basically means like the water supply will be like, you know, a bit tricky, you know, during peak periods. I take offense to that, not only because we're really suffering with load shedding already. But now you're telling us that, look, on top of that, we're going to be cutting your water for 54 hours. And this is probably not going to affect me directly because I don't live in that part of the city. But I just feel like they're really pushing us to a limit. They want to test us and see how much of their shit we can take. So, yes, I agree that this tension and this friction and this discomfort that this is causing is really going to result in something good. It's going to result in a reevaluation of how everything is done. It's going to force them to actually get some shit done because we are just tired as a people. Even if you're not tired, you're tired. I promise you, you don't know it yet, but you're tired.
Oh, man, it never rains, but
it's
pours.
Messy, dude.
It is messy, and it's ugly. It is ugly. Let's go back quickly to the Oscar story. Corona's boring, says Mbulelo. That's false. CNN never goes anywhere. They fake it with a green screen. They do fake it with a green screen. And who's the guy? Tory Lanez as well. Robin Badger saying here something that I've said is, don't shoot your girlfriend in the foot in the bathroom. Now, obviously, this comes from Tory Lanez shooting, what's the lady's name?
Megan Thee Stallion.
That's
real hot girl shit.
That's two E's.
Yeah, they were just vibing.
Okay, they were going. Okay, let's say it was complicated, and I made a rule on the MKT show. I said, don't shoot your girlfriend in the foot.
Wait, Mbulelo, you must use the right term so that the young kids of today can understand what was going on between Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez. They were vibing. That's a term. It's how you describe what's currently going on in, you know, you and somebody, it being complicated, that means you guys are committed and there's something more to it than just a vibe.
I don't know if you're shooting somebody in the foot if you're just vibing. It's got to be a little bit more. To elicit that sort of emotion in somebody, you must have said, yeah, your dad's right, or something like that. You know how ladies get sometimes. Ladies say those things. Sorry. You know how ladies will say those things. Like, yeah, plus my mom's right. My mom's right about you. Oh, say what? You talk about me? And then it's a little bit racist what I'm doing now. But he's like, ooh, girl, you say, ooh, you say my ass crazy like my daddy. Ooh, girl, y'all know what coming. And then
you clearly don't hang out with black girls, clearly, because, whoa, what is this? What's going on right now?
No, go ahead, Levon. What do you mean? That's Tory Lanez.
What you're not going
to do. No, it's Tory Lanez saying that.
What you're not going to do is drag all of us just because you watch a couple of American.
Oh no, I think okay. Lebang's gone. But yeah, Simpio, what do you have to say about my impression of Tory Lanez?
No, in terms of this particular incident and vibing, she doesn't need to say like, oh yeah, you just like your father, you good for nothing nigga.
That's not how she'd say it. Simpio, say it how Megan Thee Stallion would say it. Let me tell you how Megan Thee Stallion would say it, because you seem unsure. You be just like your daddy. Ooh, that's how she'd say it.
I listen to Megan Thee Stallion and her music. Uh-huh. and she's the type of real hot girl shit. That's how she talk, real hot girl shit.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, like she's that person who, if she is gonna come for you, she might do the pointing thing, like, you know what you gonna do.
Oh, boo boo. You be stepping on me? Boo boo. Okay. Yeah, that one.
But all I'm saying is that she doesn't need to act like that to make the next person feel some type of way or incite something in them. It doesn't even need to be that deep about it. You know, you just like your father. It could be something about, if they're vibing, then maybe she could have just been like, your dick is too small. And that's it. Jesus. And he just felt like, oh my gosh. And he's like, what do you mean?
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be that deep. That's all I'm saying.
And I might be misogynistic here, but yo, ladies, you know how to get to dudes' special places, hey? Like, yo, some of the things I hear ladies say, and I'm just like, oh my god, how long have you had that bullet in the chamber? Because with dudes, it's just like upfront, boom, smash you in the face. Yo, some of the things ladies say, and I'm talking on my friend's behalf, and it's just little needling things as well. We're at dinner, and I'll hear it, and I go, oh, heavens, jeez. Like, how's that guy going to recover from that? But maybe this is what good relationships are, just being able to take jibes from your lady for 10, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, you know? I don't know, Simpio.
No, it's just, there's a bit of honesty. I know I'm a sarcastic person, so, like, I'm the type of person, if you tell me you're a Man United fan and they lose, best believe I'm going to be on your case all day, every day. Oh. That's the type of person I am. And I think a lot of women are like that. They're just able to, you know, they're able to say things without saying anything. And it's a way of them communicating something that could be an issue or something that is not an issue, because things like statements like, you just like your father, they know why they said that. They know that thing is hitting you, and the pillow talk that you guys have had.
Yeah.
About your pops and your relationship with your pops is going to incite something, an emotion in you. And so she said that for a reason. And so in that regard, women can be very calculating to the fact that I know I can hurt you and I know I can catch you, and I'll catch you with my words. I don't go out and cheat. And that's the difference, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
Is that women will catch you with their words as they step out and sleep with another chick, and now she's hurt. Yeah,
I'm with you. Hey,
she's crying and Break My Heart by Toni Braxton.
Say you love me again, Toni Braxton. Hey, she's just an all timer. So, do you want one more headline, or have you had enough, Simpure?
I'm sorry, she's looking all sorts of. Yes.
All right. You want one more? Eskom. So Eskom routine check detects air contamination weakness at Coburg. Now, Coburg Power Station, one of the, it's an on-running mess. Coburg has, and again, I think this is an important context to give to everybody. Obviously, if you're on South Africa, it's important for you to get the context. If you're in South Africa, you obviously know what it be, as the kids say, is that Coburg has become a mess, and part of the sort of system of South Africa has been eroded so much, and we're stuck now in the nightmare of having to fix, because in life and in systems and in anything you want to work is that you constantly want to compound by maintaining. And we as South Africa have allowed things, and the ANC, our party, which has been in power, has allowed things to erode so badly that we are now at rock bottom, where we now have to fix the whole thing. We have to fix the whole thing instead of just keeping small repairs and maintaining. And Coburg has been one of those absolute sores in South Africa's backside. So during routine testing, Eskom detected an airborne contamination in the ventilation system of the Coburg Security Central Alarm Station. According to a statement issued by the National Nuclear Regulator on Monday, the airborne contamination was not from a nuclear power plant or a result of the nuclear accident. It was part of a testing process at Coburg Security Central Alarm Station, whereby radioactive isotope I-131 was used as a tracer. Fin24 understands the Coburg Security Central Alarm Station is a bunker and the contamination was contained. Well, if there is any good news to be had from this, it is that. So let's see how that unfolds. Boy, oh boy, Eskom right now. I mean, De Reuter and his boys must just be hoping, let's just end this year. Like, he must want to crawl into a hole and just disappear for a month or two, you know? I would want to anyway, if I was him. It would be an absolute nightmare to be a part of that. So those are your headlines. And coming up after the break, we'll chat to a little bit more to Simpiwe and to Lebang. We'll see if we can get her back. And we'll keep chatting. There's a very cool listener email that we do have. We'll read that as well. Before we go to the break, remember, you can subscribe to Cliff Central Sport as well, if you want to join us and hear a little bit more about sport. That's 12 to 2 p.m. Central African time. That's available on YouTube. Otherwise, it is the MKT show, available wherever you may get your podcasts. And should you want to get the GCS, very much the same. If you are joining us for the first time, welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show. Gareth is away for the moment. He will be back in 2 days' time. So it's the B team. It is my ugly mug for today and tomorrow. And then on Thursday, Gareth Cliff will be back in the house. Right, we are going to take a little intermission, you know, a little intermission. Let's go and hug it out a little bit. It's been quite tense. There's been a lot of Eskom. Lebang was projecting, obviously, her feelings about her cousin's partner. So let's all just, let's hold our crystals, because I've got my crystals here. If you don't have yours, maybe go and grab your crystals, rub your crystals, which is not a metaphor for any funny bits below. I literally have energy crystals. You can see I'm rubbing a purple one here. Let's go and hug it out. Let's go and hope Lebang can relax and everybody who has terrible wedding invites can relax. The GCS on the other side. CliffCentral.com.